I just came back from the conference known as Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree, California. And I realized people who don't go to these conferences have very strong opinions about it. I will just say straight out, I actually love going to Joshua Tree. It's a little crazy. There's opinions of all types that are expressed there, but I personally enjoy the experience of going there, meeting the people, the attendees, the speakers. I've done this now for 4 or 5 years. I don't know how many, but it's always been a positive experience for me. But then again, I've been in this field long enough to accept and recognize that the people who attend UFO-related conferences are of all types, and for me, that's fine. But at that conference was Corey Good, who has talked now prominently about his participation, alleged participation in a secret space program. Michael Sala was there, and I've known Michael for many years. Michael promotes Corey Good and people like Bill Tompkins, who wasn't there, but another person who has claimed to have had connection with the so-called secret space program. So this was a huge thing being discussed at Contact in the Desert, and it's been discussed now. It's almost dominated the field of ufology for several years. And I try to look at my own place in this whole thing because I've been talking and writing about a probable secret space program for many years. My lecture on it in 2011 is available on YouTube, and I did another lecture in 2014, I believe, in San Mateo. I mean, my goodness, I developed the concept of a breakaway civilization back in 2009 when I published Volume 2 of UFOs in the National Security State.
Yep.
So I've been there. What's
Sure
that, right?
did. Yeah, you sure did. That's something that I'm very proud of you for.
Thank you. So my point is, I have been speculating for a long time about the strong likelihood of a clandestine advanced space program connected in one way or another to the UFO phenomenon. In the research that I've been doing on this for years, I've looked at a number of points of entry into this and why I believe it. A, I believe in the reality of a variety of crash retrievals of UFOs, so that I believe for a long time that there have been secret technology programs. These are going to have to lead somewhere, and clearly one of the things that such programs would be dealing with would be propulsion and what we might call field propulsion, anti-gravity, things related to this, which would presumably get us easily out of the Earth's atmosphere. So that's one thing. There's another line of reasoning when you look at space-based video anomalies. Not all anomalies of space-based UFOs are legit, in my opinion. Many are not. Many actually are ice crystal. But others aren't, in my view, at least in my view. And so I've seen enough of those to make me conclude that there are objects in Earth orbit that are doing things that are not supposed to be possible, and yet there they are. So that's evidence of something going on in space that would, if we're building it, that would be proof right off the bat that there's a secret space program. But even if they're not ours, it would be a strong indication, I've always argued, that we would have a clandestine response to it that would constitute a secret space program. There's the luck, the hacking, we don't call it hacking, the experience of Gary McKinnon, experience he, I don't want to say he hacked, he didn't really do any hacking, but he was able to gain access to websites of U.S. Space Command and related and found what he thought was evidence of a secret space program. There's the statements of earlier whistleblowers like Carl Wolf and Donna Hare, who've talked explicitly about this. I don't need to be convinced that there's something going on. And there's so much more that when I seek to compile the evidence of a secret space program, I don't need to be convinced it's happening. So when I come to people like Andrew Basiago, Corey Good, Bill Tompkins, Randy Kramer, and other people who similarly make claims that they have gone to Mars, for example, that they have encountered alien creatures like blue avians, as Corey Good has said, that are very tall. And that furthermore, when they make claims that they've gone for 20 years for such a program and then come back, but you unfortunately can't check their claims because they were time regressed back to their moment of departure. And even mom didn't know he was gone. And so it makes it impossible to check such claims. I mean, look, people making these types of claims, I'm not here to have wars with anyone, but they must recognize that these are not credible claims. Now, before I go one step further, I want to just say something. So I have also personally met with alleged whistleblowers. One in particular I just recently was chatting with, who has made even a similar claim. Secret space program, asked to go for a long period of time in space. I don't have an opinion on this particular whistleblower that I've just chatted with, and I think he's a good guy. I think he's honest. He seems honest to me. This is someone who actually has provided a DD-214 to me and has provided a variety of other pieces of evidence to indicate to me that he is who he says he is. So that's a step up. But that still doesn't make me conclude just yet that he is exactly accurate. And I will just add that this particular whistleblower that I've spoken to has very much more modest claims of what he can remember than someone like Corey Good or someone like Andrew Basciago, for that matter, or Randy Kramer. Those people have very explicit, detailed memories of extended periods of time, allegedly on another planet. This individual that I'm talking to, if I ever even reveal his identity, I don't know. He has no such detailed memories, but he has certain interesting anomalies that make me wonder. Let's talk some more. What I want to say is this. I will never criticize another researcher for wanting to dive into these claims to investigate them. No matter how outrageous they may seem to those of us out there who may not believe them, and they may indeed, very likely that many of these claims are not true. But if there are researchers out there who want to go in and try to confirm and to test, let them do it. And I think that's great. They should try to do it. On the other side of it, there need to be good researchers who are going to be critiquing these and looking for the holes in the stories. I have a little bit more to say about this, and I'm going to continue this after the break, by the way. But the one thing that I just want people to know from my point of view, all right, one thing that I will never do is get into personal wars with people. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm not going to get into a war with Corey Good. I'm not going to get into a war with Michael Sala. I'm not going to get into a war with Andrew Basciago or Bill Tompkins or Randy Kramer. I have no interest in getting personal with any of these people. For me, if I'm going to have a critique, it will be concerning the accuracy of their claims or the quality of their research. In the case of someone like Michael, who's not really making claims himself, but he's researching and trying to corroborate these people's claims. Any of the statements that people make is up for grabs. Most recently, there's been a lot of talk about these wars in ufology, Corey Good versus people like Bill Ryan, who's a friend of mine, and myself. I've been brought into this. I know Dark Journalist over on YouTube. I've done interviews with him. He's making a lot out of this right now. Basically, from my point of view, that's fine. I just want to make sure that my points of view are accurately characterized. All right. And incidentally, I have a lot of respect for the people over at Project Avalon who are looking into this matter with a great deal of attention and care. Bill Ryan has run Avalon, and I'm good friends with one of the moderators there as well. And I respect really most of the contributors there. I like to look at it from time to time. So they're on top of this. They're very critical of the story of Corey Good. It's important and it's fair game to be critiquing these people. I just, for my part, I don't want to get personal. I'm not interested in having, because I feel like when we go down the personal road, all right, we're missing the point. I didn't get involved in UFO research because I was interested in the personalities of the researchers in doing this. I have no interest in that. Never did. I'm interested in the subject. I'm interested in getting answers to this mystery and exploring it. I have a lot more to say about this. It may cut into some of the other things I wanted to say tonight, but that's fine. We're really at the bottom of the hour. So how about we do this? Let me take a quick break. I'm going to come back in 3 or 4 minutes, and we will pick this up. I'm Richard Dolan here on The Richard Dolan Show, KGRA Radio. We'll be right back. So I'm back. I just want to have about 5 or 10 more minutes on this whole theme. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my thoughts on a secrets-based program. Again, I think it's real. There have been many good leaks over the years, too many indicators from what we know of from our classified history. Yes, there is one. There is a secrets-based program. The question that I have been asking myself is, how far advanced is it? All right. So one question we might ask is, have we actually secretly traversed the solar system? If you go back to the Brad Sorensen ARV story from 1988, you might conclude that, yes, we have. I've studied that account as well as anyone that I know. I've not met Brad Sorensen, but I know a number of people who interviewed him carefully. I am friends with Mark McCandlish, who was Brad Sorensen's friend back in 88, who got the story firsthand. Essentially, Brad Sorensen went on to an air show in 1988 at Lockheed Hellendale's facility. He was actually flown to it from the air show with a high-ranking defense official, very high-ranking. They went into a hangar, the big hangar at Lockheed, guarded by soldiers with M-16s. It was a very surprisingly secure area. The official said to Brad, "Don't say anything. I'll get you in. Just keep your lips sealed." And they went in, and on another one side of the hangar behind a curtain were three hovering craft, looking essentially like flying saucer type craft. They were hovering. Sorensen talked about this. He said, look, he was absolutely at his most alert. There were no ropes suspending these things, nothing like that. There was a 4-star general talking about them, referring to them as ARV, alien reproduction vehicles, and indicating that they had traveled the solar system. So now you can take the story and believe it or not. I believe that I believe it. I think that I do. There are other interesting leaks and stories that are similar to Sorensen's that make me think, yeah, we probably, as crazy as this might sound to someone who hasn't gone into the subject, I do believe that we've developed propulsion-type technology and craft that have left Earth's orbit and are much better than the kinds of technologies NASA officially is working on. So that's one thing. I believe that. So in propulsion, possibly in energy, the classified world could be very significantly advanced from where we are, and I think they probably are. Now let's look at some other areas. Genetics. Well, in terms of genetics, I don't really profess to know. I have not gotten any what I feel are credible leaks from the classified world that make me think that they've gone into similarly way, way far advanced breakthroughs in genetics as they have in propulsion. It's possible that they have, but I personally have not encountered credible sources that make me think that they have. So in other words, major breakthrough in genetics could indicate virtual immortality. I don't know that that's been achieved. I don't think it's been achieved. David Rockefeller just died a few months ago. He's 101 years old. Zbigniew Brzezinski, another of the masters of the universe, died the other day at age 89. They may be living on the blood of 10-year-old children for all I know, but they don't seem to be benefiting from a cracked genetic code that allows immortality. So if someone's benefiting from it, it's not those guys. I suspect that we have not, even in the classified world, made the ultimate profound breakthrough in genetics that may be coming. CRISPR technology, even in our official world, is making ridiculously rapid advances. Then there's quantum computing. Then there's AI and there's nanotech. This is a huge question. Where has the classified world gone with AI? Again, no one knows. Nobody knows this. I remember a couple of years ago reading a musing by James Bamford, who is an expert on the NSA, wrote several books on the NSA. Bamford, I think it was maybe 3 years ago, said there's a maybe 50-50 chance, if I recall him correctly, saying that the NSA had advanced quantum computing. But he didn't know either. Nobody knows. And then there's advanced AI. Have they, in the classified world, hit the singularity? My suspicion is no. I suspect that they have not done it. Just because, in other words, that there is a probable breakaway civilization doesn't mean that they have created magic in every aspect of their civilization. I think that's unlikely. My suspicion all along is that they're very advanced in some ways and maybe marginally advanced in others. Nanotech, same thing. Then we come down to space-time mastery. And again, all I can do is speculate because, you know what? I don't know any better than the next person. Have people within the deep black classified world mastered space-time to the extent that they can jump through time or go through wormholes or, master Miguel Alcubierre's equations of essentially of a warp drive type of propulsion. Has any of that happened? I don't know. I actually don't think so, but I'm not willing to rule it out. I say I don't think so because, again, to my satisfaction, I have not yet met a credible individual with alleged inside information that gives me reason to think that they've done it. So I'm not seeing true space-time mastery. I spoke to a gentleman retired from Boeing. I've talked about this once in a while. I know this man. I know his wife. These are good people. He's a real guy. He's a real retired engineer from Boeing who told me that Boeing was working on black triangles in the 90s and in the 80s. And that they were working with reverse engineered ET tech, and that they had not fully mastered that technology. To me, he's a credible man, and I'm willing to believe him. But that's a long way off from space-time mastery and time compression and all of these other things. So my take on this is that there is almost certainly a breakaway civilization of sorts. The question remains, how far and in what ways have they broken away from us? Are they very advanced, or are they essentially living a magical existence where they can do anything, including reverse time travel? There are people like Mr. Corey Good and like Mr. Randy Kramer and like Mr. Andrew Bastiago. And again, I'm not here to trash these people. I'm not interested in doing that. I've met two of the three. I've met Corey Good and I met Andrew Bastiago. And I just want to say this about Andy. He's a very nice person. Actually, he liked meeting him. He's a very decent human being. And Corey Good was nothing if not polite to me. I have nothing personal against these individuals. That includes Randy Kramer as well, who I have not yet met. But so I'm not here to trash people. I don't do wars with people. But I want to come back to UFO evidence in general. When we're working this field, people are saying, making claims one way or the other. What we researchers need, and those of us who take this subject seriously, we need evidence that's verifiable. It's really that simple. I'm not that interested in a good campfire story, which is what some of these constitute. And I don't mean to demean them, but if you're providing a story that cannot possibly be corroborated with outside information, then it is literally technically unfalsifiable. What that means in philosophy is you can't prove it true or false. It's therefore not valid argumentation. It might be true. Something can be true even if it's not valid, philosophically speaking, or scientifically speaking. And maybe, just maybe, what these guys are saying is true. But the problem that I have as a researcher is I have no way as yet to confirm these stories. the piling on effect doesn't do it for me. In other words, just because another person says it and then another person says it, sorry, but that doesn't constitute evidence for me because it can't be independently corroborated outside that circle. I mean, one thing I said, I think it was on Jimmy Church when he did a guest on Coast 6-8 months ago, something like that. I said, look, if I were interested in sowing disinformation in this field, it'd be the easiest thing in the world. I could spend 6 months studying the subject, learning the claims that are out there, some of the outrageous claims, and then I could just formulate my own story and then present it, and there'd always be someone willing to video me and put me out there and make me into the next star. And it would be easy to do. It would be easy to lay waste to the field, particularly if there's a genuine secret space program that does exist that needs to be protected, right? If you're in charge of security of a genuine, real clandestine space program, and you want to make sure that it remains protected at least for another 10 years or more or whatever, you're going to bring in disinformation. You're going to bring in people who will steer researchers the wrong way, who will steer the public the wrong way, and who will also, in the process, bring discredit to the subject, to the general public, which all of those individuals have done, whether they mean to or not. That's what has happened. So from a disinformation intelligence community point of view, these stories have a certain smell to them. It doesn't mean that they're definitely not true yet. Again, I want to point out, I will always support researchers who are doing their best to investigate these claims one way or the other. I have no problem with anyone doing that, and that includes Michael Sala. If he's going to do that, I just want him to do a good job with it. I spoke with Michael a few days ago when I was in the California desert, and I believe he is sincere. I believe he really wants to do a good job. The question remains, are these claims genuine and can anything be done with them? My take on this now, and this is at this point what I will say at MUFON when I'm there in Las Vegas in July, is that these claims do not pass the evidence test and they don't pass the smell test. That doesn't mean that we can't research it, but we need to be careful about this stuff. Last thing I want to say, although I'm not here to trash people, I don't want to do wars with people, I do want to say when people are out there clearly trying to make money from their claims, we have a right to question their motivations. And they can try to defend their motivations, and they are allowed to defend their motivations all they want. My attitude is, You're absolutely allowed to make money in doing what you want to do. And if you are able to sell books or stories to people who are willing to buy them, that is your right to do it. And I'm the last person to try to take that right away from you. Now, when it damages my field of research, I also am allowed to question you. So, and so are other people. Last thing I want to say on this is distinguishing, because I don't want to be divisive here. I know there are people out there who want me to fight some war on one side of this, and I don't want to do that. I want us to all to be better than that. First of all, I don't want to attack a person because whatever I may think privately about someone is not germane to the public discussion. Secondly, all too many times in my life when I have seen anyone personally being trashed, it is usually based on insufficient knowledge by the person doing it, and I don't want to do that. Third, going after people is usually a waste of time. I prefer to stick to the issues, not to the people. And fourth, I mean, most important, I just want to say in this field, ideas and people are totally different things. When we're dealing with ideas, those ideas, any ideas, are there to be critiqued. That's what it's about, whether it's about UFOs or about religion or about a belief system of any sort. Ideas are fair game to be critiqued. People are different. And unfortunately, in this field of ufology and everything related to it, There are folks out there who really love, they get off on attacking other individuals and starting personal wars. And it's not helpful. It's really not helpful. So I think we're all best served by sticking to the subject matter that brought us all in here to begin with, which is frankly the most amazing, fascinating mystery that I can possibly imagine. The mystery of unidentified flying objects that are clearly being recorded, that are not supposed to exist, but do exist. And furthermore, the likelihood that that phenomenon is related to the presence of some other that is, in my view, here interacting with us in some important way. And furthermore, to the mystery that this phenomenon of UFOs is almost certainly related to the existence of a secret space program, a clandestine space program that does exist. These are genuine mysteries, genuine areas of public policy that we should be researching. But when we start getting stuck on personalities, we're derailing ourselves from what really matters. So again, I just want to say, attack the idea is not the person. As for unity in ufology, I'm not really a big proponent one way or the other about unity. Ufology has never been unified, never. And that's not the worst thing in the world. Politics, we're never unified. That's the price of having a free society with different opinions. I mean, my goodness, if you have a truly unified society, that's called totalitarianism and fascism, and I'll opt out. Thank you very much. So I don't really need, I don't have this need for unity, but I do want to recognize that we, those of us in this field, we are a community. We constitute a community, and we can be civil to each other. We can be polite to each other, and we can support each other in a spirit of goodwill. And I do believe that. I don't have to agree with everyone in this field for me to respect where they're coming from. It's not necessary. Because if I were only to respect those people that I agree with, first of all, it's a really lousy way to live your life. Secondly, it's probably an unwise way to live my life because I can't believe that I'm right about every single thing at this point in time that I believe in. I'm sure that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or less, I will discover that I've been wrong about certain things and I'll have to revise my opinion. So it's really foolish of me and really wrongheaded of me to judge someone else based on whether or not they agree with all of my opinions. There are folks out there who are like this, and I wish that that were not the case. What we need to recognize, I feel, is we can disagree with somebody, and if they are honest about where they're coming from, then we can still disagree with them and respect them. If, however, we encounter individuals who really are taking advantage of the gullibility of individuals or are taking advantage of some other aspect of this field in order to make money, become superstars, whatever, then yes, we have the right to call them out, and we have the right particularly to critique their ideas, even more than calling them out. Go after the ideas. Because you never really know. There could be, down the road, we may discover some truly bizarre reality buried in the claims of these people. How difficult is it to recognize, for example, that some or many of these individuals have been messed with in one way or another? It's totally possible. I have spoken to military witnesses, several, who I know for a fact have been screwed with psychologically through drugs that were administered by military agencies and intelligence agencies. This has happened, not simply the guys in the Rendlesham Forest incident either. I've spoken personally to other individuals, and I know absolutely that the United States military black budget community will drug people and screw with their heads and mess up their memories and manage their memories. The easiest way to hide something is to package it in utter nonsense and then put it out there. So again, is it possible? Is it just possible that some of these claims that are out there circulating have a grain of truth? Well, I'm not willing to say yes or no. I am willing to question the veracity of these individuals. And I guess I'll add one other thing, which is that, you know, in a field that is in the crosshairs of so many people, I do personally think that researchers and alleged whistleblowers, I would like them to have an obligation to comport themselves in a way that is a little bit more professional and a little bit more amenable to genuine critique. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. So these are some of my thoughts on the whole lack of unity, the whole argument that's taking place now relating to an alleged secret space program. And I'm going to be seeing these people directly in about 2 months in Las Vegas, and I'm going to sit down in a panel with them, and I'm going to be in front of an audience with them. And I'm sure that I will have a very different opinion on matters than they collectively will have. And ultimately, it's not necessary for me to take down anyone or to destroy anyone or anything like that. What I will simply want to do is to point out, what is the evidence? What is acceptable evidence here? Not one guy's story, not another guy's story. What is the actual evidence that is available for those of us outsiders to critique and to analyze? And if there isn't anything there, then the fact is that those individuals do not yet have the right to be called genuine whistleblowers. Because this is the last thing I want to say about whistleblowers. A whistleblower is someone that you know who they are. You can confirm who they are. They have a genuine background that can be investigated. They have a story that, even if you can't prove the story, you can at least investigate them. I don't know anyone who has investigated the families of these various whistleblowers that I've been talking about. If there have been investigations of them, then I have to plead ignorance, and I probably ought to know, and I don't know, and I apologize. But I'm not aware of anyone doing detailed investigations of the families of these individuals. That would be a start. You know, what we want with our so-called whistleblowers is a way to confirm who they are. William Binney is a whistleblower. That man's a double amputee and an American hero who got pulled out of the shower by FBI agents at gunpoint because of what he said about NSA. He's a whistleblower. All right. Edward Snowden is a whistleblower. Gary McKinnon is a whistleblower because we know who he is. We know the U.S. government was after him and tried to throw him into Gitmo for years. He qualifies, in my view. All right. You have to have a background that can be confirmed. That's step one. And after that, we can take it one step at a time. So again, the main takeaway I want people out there to know, whether they're the good people on Avalon or the people who might listen to Dark Journalist or people who are on the other side of it who support these individuals who made these claims, I'm not here to take anyone down at this point. I'm really not. I'm here to say that we ought to have standards of evidence before we move forward with claims. We are allowed to critique these claims, and let's try not to keep it personal. I mean, that's the main thing that I guess I would say here. Let's keep it respectful and professional, and we'll all be happier in the long run. So with that, I'm at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. I will come back. I have to decide what I'm going to talk about and what I'm going to cut from the program. And we got an hour to go. I'm Richard Dolan here on KGRA. We'll be right back. And the other thing I just want to say about the last thing I want to say about this whole situation with Corey Good and Bill Tompkins and so forth is, look, I feel that I want to defend this field of UFO research and that I want to help defend us as a community and as a unit. And that is why I want and need evidence for claims that are promoted. And that is why I need to have high standards for for incredible claims about this subject. You know, years and years ago, it was Carl Sagan who said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. I always thought Sagan had a bit of duplicity about that statement when he talked about it in relation to UFOs, because I believe he knew much more than he was letting on. Occasionally, relating to Sagan's remark, I would say that an extraordinary phenomenon requires an extraordinary investigation, which I feel is what UFO subject requires. But it is true that extraordinary claims ought to have powerful evidence and also a good investigation. So both sides of that are valid. Again, as I will just finally conclude here, I want people on both sides of this to investigate these claims, because it's very possible that there will be fruitful areas of investigation, however you want to look at it. This is my opinion. At the same time, I will say I wish that some people would not jump on board so rapidly, so willingly to accept claims that do not have evidence. We need to hold to a better standard. At least I have to say I have to hold myself to a higher standard. And if anyone out there cares about what I think in this field, then I feel it's important that they understand where I'm coming from. Evidence is what it's about. And as my dad always has said, my dad, I just saw him today. Tracy and I visited him earlier today. He's retired, living in Florida. My dad was a tough cop for years and always said, money talks, bullshit walks. Anyone can talk, but if you don't have anything to say, then you can just walk. What I would say as a variation of that is money does talk. That is, in other words, if you've got evidence, then absolutely. But if you don't have evidence, then prove it. Bring it out. Help the rest of us. Help us understand. Help us, those of us who want to get evidence for this, you've got to give us something to work with. And if you don't give us something to work with, don't expect outsiders to believe you. Okay, end of story. That's it. That's it. So the secret space stuff's not going to go away. I want to just give an online, on-air greeting to Bill Ryan. I mentioned him earlier. I've always had a great deal of respect for Bill, and a message that he wrote was basically forwarded to me. And I would like to read this on the air. I respect him enough. I want this to be out there. So Bill Ryan said he was listening very carefully to what I had to say earlier, and he thanks me for my kind words to him. And he said he agreed with me about the personality thing. Kudos, he's right with me. But he adds, it's about more than critiquing individually presented claims. He writes, there's a high-level campaign here, and we have to be thinking about this from the point of view of an enemy general wanting to lay waste to the community, not a maverick individual who's decided on his own to lay waste to it. He goes on and says, it's likely to be being orchestrated and planned. And if it is, we're going to be crushed underfoot as a research community unless we get smart and aware quite quickly. The good researchers are in danger of being marginalized. He finally just adds, I totally know what Richard means and admire and respect it, but when we're merely critiquing individual claims, we are also only focusing on individuals, just in a different way. So I think that's well said. And I think it's important, actually, that one of the things we have to be looking at is whether or to what extent we can determine such claims are being orchestrated from beyond. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to. It's possible to know if these individuals that are out there are being orchestrated from some entity behind them. I don't rule any of this out. If I were on the dark side and I were in charge of maintaining secrecy on the UFO subject, I would definitely want to create dissension and disunity and lay waste to the UFO research community such as it is. I would want to do that. In fact, look, we know this is precisely what the United States intelligence community has done to other countries. In my studies of false flags and color revolution phenomenon, You know, for example, the U.S. ambassador to Syria back in 2006 was talking about starting rumor campaigns among Shiite and Sunni Muslims in Syria to create sectarian strife. And in fact, the United States was working the exact same game in Iraq a couple of years earlier in 04 and 05 under the nefarious U.S. ambassador John Negroponte. In other words, you start rumors, you sow dissension, you create strife, and you disarm a community that way. The FBI, in its infamous COINTEL program of the 1950s and 60s, did precisely the same thing. They did it to the Black Panthers. They did it to Students for a Democratic Society. They undermined active, viable organizations that were working for progressive change, and they destroyed them. And one of the ways they destroyed them was by orchestrating behind the scenes a campaign of undermining and getting people to fight each other and creating fake stories and fake rumors and so forth. So this is something that the United States intelligence community has a history of doing. And I think Bill is right. We do need to be mindful of this type of thing happening here. Having said that, I will continue to maintain those researchers who are out there on the pro or con side, who are doing their work with good intentions, are people that I do want to maintain good relations with. We are in this together. We can be critiquing each other. But I'm interested in those people who are actually out there trying their best to get to the bottom of this. So I'll just leave it at that.